CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to another inspiring episode of Unbranded, the show where we look at the science of brain and branding, exploring the link between human and brand behavior. I am Timothy Maurice, and I wake up every day curious about what makes people tick and how does society and social spaces and companies' narratives impact who we become. My ultimate aim is to inspire people to think differently and more creatively about themselves and the brands they work for. Thanks so much to everyone who has subscribed to iTunes from South Africa and around the world. I am grateful. I'm really grateful, actually, for those who email me and push me to explore concepts and ideas that enrich my life as well. Yes, I learn a lot on this show from guests and just everyone involved. You can email me at info@timothymaurice.com or timothymaurice@gmail, whichever you find. I find it really interesting, the psychology of having your own domain versus Gmail. Some people think, oh, you should have. But so I'm always interested to see who uses my domain name versus Gmail. So you can email either one with your thoughts and your ideas. Today, I decided to explore the artistic influences from music, design, fashion, arts that surround us and how they make our lives better. So I asked one of SA's most creative and curious minds to pop in, and she's the founder of starvedmag.com, an online space for the hungry creatives out there. She's also an editor and photographer. You can follow her at Annie Raman, R-A-M-A-N, Annie, A-N-N-A-N-N-I-E, R-A-M-A-N, and go to the mag's website, www.starvedmag.com. Annie Raman, welcome to Unbranded.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's really awesome to have you here. So Annie, between your passions for music, fashion, photography, ad design work, which is your first love?
My first love, that's a very hard question. I just feel like they all come together so nicely. But creativity, anything that involves being creative, anything that involves expression, that's my first love.
Your There's first so many love loves. Is creating.
Creating, exactly.
Awesome. I watched a video online that reveals you are kind of a walking miracle. Mm-hmm. Do you wake up at times feeling a responsibility to add more beauty to the world that gave you this miracle?
I certainly do. I do believe people were chosen for specific things. It's very important to live up to what you were chosen to do. Even if it's something as amazing as being a creative, if that's the way I'm going to send my message to the world, I need to own it.
It's interesting because if you think about how we are surrounded, we're like in a bubble of mm-hmm. creative things, things that are a result of someone's creative inspiration. If you look sure. at how you're dressed, so for those, you know, we'll post some photos, but for those who just download on iTunes, who don't get a chance to see her, I want to paint a picture of your sort of style and how what sort of influences your own personal style. So you mm-hmm. have a very sort of chic, sort of Chanel, sort of button-up collar type of shirt. Your hair is sort of cut in a way that's very sort of modern and sort of has a global feel. What inspires your personal style?
My personal style, I am a big person when it comes to affordability. I do prefer to spend my money on other things like charity work and things like that. So when it comes to style, I look at things that I can afford that are within a budget, but also expresses either my professional side or my creative side. And I mean, that can be found anyway.
Yeah.
Online, in stores.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, from an aesthetic perspective, though, mm-hmm. not from a budget perspective. You know, would you wear Corsa-inspired things? Like, let's say, for example, you've got two things that are 50 rand each
yes.
at sort of a vintage shop.
Yes.
What you're going to be drawn to is going to be the thing that sort of, that really sort of aligns to your belief system. So
for
I want
sure.
people to really sort of understand what do you connect to? Do you see yourself as sort of having sort of global aesthetic influences or more local aesthetic influences?
I definitely have a more global. I like things that are more casual on days, and then I think on days where I need to feel more professional, more in touch with myself, I would dress like a boardroom style, for instance.
Got it.
Yeah, it does depend on the occasion, the mood, but I have a very global style. I wear anything from anywhere that I can get my hands on.
Okay. You know, take me through a typical 7-day work week. You know, for those who have now decided, you know what, I'm going to follow this conversation, so mm-hmm. I'm on her website, starvedmag.com. Yes. And they are also following you now at Annie Rahman on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're following you and they want to get an idea of your 7-day work week. Just take us kind of through. I say 7 days because I'm assuming even on weekends, you're probably creating something.
Yeah, definitely. It never really stops, which is the cool thing about it. A typical week would be waking up in the morning, going to work, reading a brief.
What time are you waking up?
I wake up at 6 or 7.30. It depends on what time I go to bed.
That is so interesting. 6 or 7.30.
Yeah.
So if you go to bed at like, what time? 11, you wake up at 6?
Yes. I mean, you have to obviously consider meeting times, but the thing is in the creative industry, the hours you work are very extensive. So you could work on a pitch or a campaign till like 6 in the morning, which happens very often, and then go to sleep for about 4 hours and then come back to work. That's the nature of the business.
Okay. So a typical week without these extremes,
yes.
You can be waking up between 6 and 7.30 and you go to the office or not. Take me through it.
So it's waking up, kind of getting ready, motivating myself for the day. I have an amazing job I get to create every day, and there's no reason why that's something I should ever feel miserable to get up to, you know?
So here's the thing, Annie. There are people out there, and I want to make sure, just so you'll appreciate why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who have these dreams, and their parents are forcing them to go study law, medicine, actuarial science, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I'm pushing sort of in a particular direction so that people can understand you
mm-hmm.
is that if they're inspired by your work,
yes.
I want them to understand how you actually live. So you said you get motivated. What do? You meditate? Do you stand on your head? Do you drink water? What do you do?
I do not meditate. I definitely, every morning I say a prayer. I thank God for bringing me where I am.
Got it.
For the fact that I can get into a warm shower every day and just for having a job that I can truly live through every aspect of my life.
Okay. Then you head off to some sort of creative space, whether mm-hmm. it's the office or a client or something, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So apart from running Starved, I'm also creative director at an agency called Fort. We're an agency and production house. So that space just for creatives it's really incredible. So it's a new kind of agency model. If you want to talk about it that way, kind of bringing together production and typical traditional agency into one house.
Okay.
Yeah. So we get to do is very collaborative. It's very inclusive of different industries and different campaigns and brands.
And then in that space, you work more on your sort of design. Are you able to use all of your sort of passions in this one space?
Mm-hmm. Yes, everything goes into it from brainstorming, from strategy to creative to physical design to just approving designs, for instance.
Okay, got it. Now, it sounds like, you know, my next question is what pays the bills, you know, from your photographic work to your online magazine? What pays the bills and what's more just of a hobby?
My job as creative director is definitely my main source of income.
80-90%?
I think I'd fair say like a 98% actually. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, 98%. The amount of work I do at Fort and the amount of work I do on Starved is very equal, but Starved is more of a passion that I give. It's more of me giving back to creatives and giving them a platform rather than it being a focus on me. It's not a blog, it's a magazine. I sometimes collaborate with brands and I get paid for it, but it happens very rarely.
But long term, like by the year 2030, do you see the income you make from like Starve
mm-hmm.
grow into like 40% of your income or?
That would be the ideal goal. I think it's just a goal that I've never actually set for myself just because it was such a passion. All I wanted to do is give back to creatives. That was really why I started it.
Got it.
But the industry is changing. I mean, you see bloggers, you see influencers, they can live off their creative income.
Yes.
And I think at some point, that's something I am planning on focusing on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's why, for example, this world we live in now, where the question becomes, how do we monetize? How do we regulate? How do we create structure in a sort of influence blogger world? And I think your model of having sort of a job that you love, and then on the side, you have your sort of these outputs is a really great model to sort of launch yourself into, because then it gives you the stability to create. You're not desperate when you're taking a photograph or you're doing your work and exploring music. It's awesome. Every society seems to have different creative interests due to political and economic influences. Saudi Arabia, for example, is experiencing a rise in online bloggers because of, you know, women are able to give tutorials around makeup, whereas historically that platform wasn't there. So it's really interesting. I met one of them while I was traveling recently, and she's really making an amazing income.
Incredible.
And she was just saying a couple years ago she wasn't able to do this. It was outlawed even. Japan is pushing boundaries when it comes to aesthetic influences. America keeps us on our edge with new social media platforms. What do you love about SA's creative spirit?
Oh, that's such a, it's one of my favorite topics. I think South Africa, I mean, definitely South Africa is very rich in culture. It's very rich in the stories that we have to tell people. I think the rest of the world would see African countries as quite third world for a number of different economical reasons. We do, however, have a very precious raw talent that people need to tap into. I mean, I wouldn't really even say that we're a leading voice in Africa or even on the continent, but we definitely have a louder voice. We definitely have creatives emerging that are kind of showcasing Africa in a way that people have never seen it before, which is really important, and it's something that we need to hone. And that's why the young creative community that we have today is such a vital part of growing not just our stories, but our economy on a global scale.
One of the things I'm interested in is that if you look at how H&M is using, infusing sort of their creative capacity from how they are, for example, in the Middle East, they've just had their first sort of Islamic sort of model. How brands, these massive global brands like Zara and H&M, are shifting and putting pressure on local markets. So it's not a South African thing. It's happening all over the world.
It does.
I was in Canada and Montreal, and I was blown away that despite this sort of being a French-influenced space, that the Zara and the H&Ms had a massive influence over the local sort of regional dynamic. And what can you see that local brands can do to compete with these behemoths?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The way I see it, and this is just my opinion and the way I view it, is brands used to kind of lead conversation, and they used to lead the way we see ourselves. Whereas I think a lot has turned around. So now creative people and young individuals are leading the way brands are being focused. So a brand would come to a specific creative because they like their look, they like their aesthetic, and they like the way people are receiving them. So in South Africa, we have a number of really incredible individuals that are kind of marking their way through brands, through the help of brands. There's so many, I won't go into detail who they are right now, but they are basically the people that could take us from where we are now and really showcase us on a global scale. And I mean, these people have their stories. They come from very underprivileged backgrounds. They come from a society where their parents could not create or could not express their creativity the way they can now. So they're taking that opportunity to do it for themselves and to do it for their parents and their grandparents before them.
Yeah. Got it. You know, it's interesting how, you know, the whole sort of creative space, people, I think, underappreciate or do not fully appreciate the how much influence it has over our life. From music, you know, I purchased Kendrick Lamar's album.
Yes.
And what I didn't realize is that when I purchased it, I didn't even read reviews. I didn't do anything. I just purchased it.
Yes.
And because there was an anticipation. And if you look at the South African music scene, it has grown so much in the last few years. When you look at music in South African music, what are you excited about?
I'm excited about the fact that we can take our music to the world. We have the raw talents. We have the infrastructure. The only problem is how few people are have access to that infrastructure. But because of the people that do, for example, Black Coffee, who recently collaborated overseas with one of the biggest artists, he took his music to America. Although he was told that his music wasn't black enough, the fact that he got to do that in the first place, it says a lot for the way people are starting to see Africa and listen to Africa through music. I mean, there's a lot of young artists that are touring. Moonchild Sinelli, she tours often. She goes to Amsterdam. I think that was the last time I spoke to her. She went to Amsterdam and did a little tour on a great festival stage. This is, it's great to look at. It's great to see. And it's really inspiring.
We're chatting to Annie Rahman. Am I pronouncing your name properly?
Rahman, but it's
Rahman.
Okay.
Rahman.
Yeah, Rahman.
Annie Rahman. And she is, if you go to starvedmag.com and you follow her, Annie Rahman, on Twitter, you can see that her sort of creative energy and her energy is buzzing. You know, the main reason I wanted you in here today is I wanted to chat about, how sort of music, design, fashion, and the creator space influences us and how we can engage it more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like so many people get stuck in a particular genre.
Definitely.
How do you begin exploring music? Let's say, for example, you love Afrikaans music.
Mm-hmm.
How do you begin exploring something in hip hop? Like, where would you begin to sort of cross genres? How do you inspire people to think about crossing genres?
Yeah, that's it's really interesting, especially because of the different cultures that we have in South Africa. That's where the key to collaboration is really important. Because bringing someone from an Afrikaans music industry and bringing another person from a Kwaito music industry, it's something, you get something really unique that you won't find that anywhere else in the world. It's so rich and so true to us. Coke Studio did something interesting a few years ago. I think they may still be doing it, but kind of bringing artists from different genres together to collaborate on one piece of music. And the results were incredible.
Yes,
I got to go to the event and it was just... I was mind
Amazing.
Blown. Yeah. You wouldn't think that. But I mean, artists, you have the same passion. You have the same thing inside you, even though you're different people. And that's when that comes together. It's beautiful.
I think if you think about it, this sort of creative conversation could actually help do a lot of reconciliation work in the country.
For sure.
I think if people realize just how similar we are in terms of how we structured, how our mind thinks about music, it just comes out differently. It could be interesting. When it comes to collaborations and sort of the integration of music, design, fashion, what are some of your key observations about how people across these disciplines could work together?
It's something that's very popular. It's something that's now, I mean, I suppose you could call it a trend, but it's just the way the world is evolving. Artists, previously, they used to be quite independent. They used to work by themselves. They used to be somewhat mysterious. But now, I think we have a lot to thank to the digital age that we're in. The fact that we're able to bring these people together, artists and musicians and designers and fashion designers very often come together in different spaces and just on different projects. And they find each other through social media, through Twitter, through Instagram, through Facebook, and through articles and interviews, which is kind of, something we should really pay tribute to right now in this day and age that we're in. It's just, you can create whole showcases and festivals based on all kinds of creativity from fashion, music, and art all in one space. And it just says a lot about how people are seeing the world today and how they want to come together. They're not really forced to come together. It's just something that they know that's the culture that we're in right now.
Sure. It's interesting from an agency perspective. In terms of getting some of these collaborations funded,
mm-hmm.
I know, for example, a designer named Ole and this really wonderful painter,
mm-hmm.
Artist named Nelson Makoma, I think.
Yes.
They collaborated where the one put his artwork on the clothes and it really, but I'm always interested, how do you get this funded? Because anything that's pioneering and a breakthrough, let's say you want to create a rock band who wants to do an installation with an artist and bring people out to a festival to see it. People are going, well, I don't understand it. Where do you go? How do you start to get something like that funded? Anything that's different,
Yes. I think being different is definitely the key. You have to also just consider the fact that although it could be a global brand that you want to work with, we may not have the kind of budgets here in South Africa that they would overseas. So a budget is a big influence. It's often a make or break for a really great idea. But brands and marketers are very interested in culture today, and they want to be able to explore that. They want people to be able to realize that they too are embracing it. So they're not just a brand that's trying to sell you something. They're actually part of your culture. So,
wow.
You know, it's tricky. You develop an amazing pitch from your really great idea. You bring together people you know that have influence, whether it's just social media influence. I mean, people like that have so much value today. So just you know, from their followers, from the things they're saying and doing. So it's important to bring all those things together into one piece. And brands, they want to listen, and they do.
Got it. So being confident about what's different. Yeah. Take it to brands that may seem to align and so mm-hmm. on. Got it. Okay. You know, when it comes to, you know, enriching your life, you know, by exploring different types of music, art, design. I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, the creative people, when they go to your blog, they leave enriched. Yeah. For those who follow this podcast often, you know, I speak a lot about the neuroscience and what drives us from a chemical, neurological level and our hormones are affected by external stimuli, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about, for example, how someone reading your blog could leave with a dopamine kick, can leave feeling like they're on a high. You know, what parts of your blog, if somebody goes right now to starvedmag.com,
yes.
What part do you feel like will help put people on a high?
I do a series called Them, which stands for True Humans, every month. So I'm on the third season. I haven't done a lot of it, but what I've done is really valuable, which speaks to young people today from across industries, not anything in particular, but just young people who have opinions. And I ask them all the same five questions. So they're very unusual questions, kind of questions they probably haven't even asked themselves before they got asked it. And the answers.
So it was the same five yes. questions. All of that. I love that.
You have to see it. It's really great. I'm definitely going to do more. I definitely want to just extend that to maybe even something global. But it's almost like the people that make your country are the people that you should be listening to. So it's really inspiring to hear young people that have hopes and dreams, but also have fears. And some of the things they talk about in these answers that I ask them. It just relates that we all have the same feelings and the same fears, but we're all out here to own our space, you know, to really make something of this life that we're given.
Sure. And to be respected for our crafts and so forth. What are a couple of those questions? I'm curious.
So one of the questions, the first question is, if you had to meet a world leader face to face, what would you say to them?
Interesting.
Yes. Another one.
Can I flip it on you?
Yes.
So Annie, if you had to meet a world leader face to face, what would you say?
Oh, I would say so very many things.
Let's say you met Trump.
Yeah.
He's like, he's sitting here in front of you now. He's like, it's big. Everything is big. Bigly. Mm-hmm. What would you say to him?
First, I would remind him that governments are here to serve their people. People are not here to serve their governments, which is something that gets taken the wrong way very often. He's caused a lot of unrest in America, for instance. A lot of young women are extremely angry. There was a young girl, Deja Fox. So she was, she stood up for healthcare and Planned Parenthood, which is something Trump is very much against. I think we all know that. And I'm actually interviewing her quite soon. So I'm still waiting for feedback. And I'm interested to see how she views the things that are happening in her country. And I think something like that I would say to Trump is, it's such an important message to look at the young people that are in your country, because one day those people are going to be, they're either going to lead your country or they're going to help you destroy it, which is, you know, very unfortunate.
He says to you, Annie, you're fired. What would you say what would you say back?
I think I would probably be okay with that, to be honest. I don't know. I think, I do believe there are people out there that want to do good, and I hope that someday that he will use his power to really make a difference that he has the ability no one else has to make.
Got it. You know, as we move to a close on this podcast, first of all, I'm really grateful you made the time, and I'm so, you know, I always feel blessed that people go, you know, I want to I'm willing to spend some time in a conversation about something like this. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
A couple tips and tools to get people to sort of explore the artistic world, because especially there's a lot of people who listen who are attorneys and people who do work that's very structured.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the type of work that they don't get a chance to explore the arts worlds and so forth. What are some things that people could do to really sort of take their lives and make their lives better by exploring these things? What would you recommend besides going to your blog?
Besides that, I think firstly, just a message to creatives. Often we tend to ostracize anyone outside our field. So if you're an accountant, for instance, we don't really look at an accountant as someone who has a creative bone in their body, which is the complete opposite of what the truth is, really. My mother, for instance, is an accountant, and she has amazing ideas that sometimes could influence my ideas, for example. I mean,
Wow. Yeah,
it's really incredible. I mean, we all have a brain. We know what we want. We all have passions, and we all hopefully you want to make the world a better place. So whether you're in infrastructure, whether you're an economist, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a cleaner, it doesn't really matter. What matters is how you use yourself and your skills and how you kind of better yourself and get involved with people that could help you grow, which is also really important. And sometimes it is about who you know, but you need to take the first step to get to know them and introduce yourself to them. It's really important.
Nice. And you know, when it comes to your passion for music and design and so forth, are there any artists that we should be looking out for right now?
Oh, wow. Yes, there's so many. Okay, one in particular, I'm sure a lot of people do know him. He's not South African. I can't believe I just forgot his name. Leon Bridges.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
He's incredible. I've just been listening to his music nonstop. But within South Africa, there's so many. Matthew Mole, who's very popular, I think his music has really, it's a beautiful message in every song, which is really great. Other young artists like Reason, for instance, hip-hop artist. There's Toomey from Toomey and the Volume. He's still making music, and he's one of our, you know, hip-hop legends, really.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then just young artists. My magazine is very focused on young independent artists that are not signed to labels that kind of make music, and it comes out of their own pockets. So that's, we just have like hundreds and hundreds of requests coming in, submissions from artists all over the country, different kinds of music, indie music. It's a beautiful
place. The
talent
is everywhere, isn't
it? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We just need people to see it and believe in it as much as artists does. And
any sort of fashion sort of like tips, have you come across any designers or anyone that you think we need to look out for, or any spaces that are hosting great designers that people can go visit?
Just interestingly, Woolworths just launched three different designers into their range, which is cool. South African local designers, one of them being Young and Lazy.
I need to go check that out. Inside of the shop, inside of the Woolworths, is all of them in one section, or are they in different sections?
I haven't actually been to see it yet, but I just from how they use River Island and Country Road and things like that, I think they would have sections that are dedicated to these local designers. But I think one of my favorites would be Max Corsa, because he is just recreating African patterns and just African identities through his clothes, which, I mean, people can just wear on a daily basis, which is really amazing.
How do you spell that? How do you spell that?
It's Maxhosa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And in terms of some of the trends you've seen in your design work, what is something that, you know, you're seeing that any sort of designer should be thinking about?
With trends, I think the minimalist style is quite a thing now. It's very clean. It's very bold. It has a really strong aesthetic. It's not too cluttered. Whereas I think back in the day, there was a lot of things happening in design. Now people are using less color, but stronger colors. And they're using more structured ways of designing, which is really interesting. But also, I mean, design is continuously evolving. And also, it's just taking influences from what has happened in the past and bringing that in. So it's just a constant loop. It's just, you know, it's always changing.
Anything exciting happening in your agency we should know about?
There's always lots of exciting things. We recently launched our global network. So we opened branches in different African countries, just a few. But our launch event spoke to something called Creating Movement, which is really, it's something that as an agency we own. The event was amazing. There was a few hundred people that came to the event and had a great time. But it was also just bringing people together to not only introduce ourselves, but to kind of really bring Africa and decolonize, as we would say at work, sure, kind of decolonize the African creative community and just really bring it back to Africa. We created a song just for the campaign, a really beautiful song. And the guests at the party got to participate on different sets that we created, and that all got edited into one music video, which was really great. Yeah, it was really cool. Lots of celebrities.
Can you sing it?
Can I sing it? Oh, gosh. It was such a well put together piece, so like well engineered, that I do not trust myself. I'll just let it down.
Okay.
But I'll definitely share it with you. I think it's incredibly well done.
Okay.
For an agency, it's not a typical thing to do.
That's awesome. And lastly, when you sort of end your night, so you've been online all day, your mind is flooded with creative stuff. You've put all your posts up and you literally are like, you know, kind of on a high, and you need to get your brain to sort of slow down so it can go into what we call, from a neuroscience perspective, to sort of this healing sleep, where your brain is cleansed so that you can start the next day fresh. What do you do to sort of settle into your evening so that you can sort of calm your mind?
Just something that I do on routine is just browsing through Instagram. Just because I see Instagram as it's not just for selfies. I mean, I know people always talk about that. But I think it's also depending on who you follow, following a lot of artists and just seeing what they put up every day. Just something like that. It makes me know that when I go to bed and then I wake up in the morning, like there's something new that I can do. So that it gives me kind of a peaceful sleep, knowing that I'm in this world that's so full of beauty.
So you like to end your evening sometimes on a very sort of creative, where you get a chance to see what the world is doing, in an inspiring note, maybe.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Is there anything else we should know about you and your work in the coming months that we should look out for?
I am launching a project called Legacy League. It is going to launch to creative women first. So what it is, it's bringing creative women across industries together to kind of have meetings, to network, to go to talks. And ultimately, the goal is to try and come together and brainstorm ideas to kind of give back to our communities, whether it's in a creative way or whether it's in a more substantial way, like just going out to charities and going to children and just giving them art lessons. But things like that, bringing first creative women and then ultimately to bring all kinds of creative people together under this one project.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I'm going to be launching that soon. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Annie. We really appreciate your work. Please follow Annie, A-N-N-I-E-R-A-M-A-N, on Twitter. And you can find her, all of her Instagram, blogger, Snapchat, all that sort of stuff. But go to starvedmag.com and follow this wonderful, wonderful design, sort of creative arts space. We really appreciate it. Keep up the good work out there.
Thank you. You too.
Is there anyone you think we should follow?
Oh, there's so many.
One person. Give this person a shout out.
I'll give this person a shout out. One of my favorite photographers is Anthony Bieler, which, maybe you do know him, but I think he's, as a young man from Soweto, he's really just, he's just changed his life and other people's lives around him, just inspiring wherever he goes.
All right. We'll look out for Anthony. Okay. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded, exploring the link between human and brand behavior. I'm Timothy Morgan. CliffCentral.com.